Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:15 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is February 15th. And Gong Qi Fat Cai to anyone who is celebrating Chinese New Year. So the Chinese stock market is going to be closed for a week from today. So it is perhaps not a bad time to just look at where things ended just before we got to the holiday, and they pulled back very sharply last week. So when we look at what are we going to talk about in this audio, well, certainly there was the spike in volatility last week, and then we've had volatility coming right back down again, particularly after the futures rolled over just on Wednesday. So that contributed to volatility coming down yesterday and again today. But China pulled back in sympathy with Wall Street in a very dynamic manner, both on the banks and in the property sector. They have very similar patterns, and they're now both right in the region of their respective trend means. And they're going to have to bounce when we get to the market opening up again in a week's time. But when we look at, for example, the Dow Jones, it extended its rebound today. It was up 300 points. It's back above 25,000. We've definitely seen a low of near-term significance. The short-term oversold condition is rapidly being unwound. But the most likely scenario is that we are in for some additional ranging, that considering the depth of the decline and the speed with which it came down, then most likely scenario is that we are in for at least 3 to 6 months of ranging before this market can sustain a move up and out of the range. If, on the other hand, it goes directly back up to the peak, well, we would have to then at least conclude that we are very close to the latter stages of this cyclical bull market. So I think that this is a welcome respite, that it certainly suggesting that volatility is not going to get out of control, that the spike that we had with the implosion of the short VIX strategies has at least partially been unwound now. But the bigger question is whether that volatility index is going to come back below 15. I think that that is a very big question. And it's probably something that we're going to have answered next week. Now, the market has been rallying every day this week, so there is the potential for some profit taking tomorrow as people get to the end of the week. But nonetheless, this has been a powerful rebound so far, and it's confirming support in the region of the trend mean. And as long as indices are finding support rather than resistance in the region of the trend mean, well, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to at least ranging and support building as the trauma of that very sharp decline is unwound. There is an additional point, of course, as to why stock markets have rebounded so firmly. Well, gold is giving us an additional clue to why that is. It's because the dollar is weak, and it was additionally weak in here today. So that is acting as a tailwind for nominal prices on the stock market in exactly the same way as the weak euro acted as a tailwind for prices in Europe of various stock markets. It's acting exactly the same way for Wall Street. Gold was up $20 yesterday. It was in mildly positive territory in here today. It's right back in this $1,350 area. And if it can sustain a move above the $1,375 area, well, then we're talking about breaking out from an 18-month range. And silver prices were also it not well, they were up for part of the day and finished down on the day, but again, not by very much. The more important point with silver is that there continues to be this mild downward bias to trading. It really is going to have to sustain a move above $18 to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. There was also a report from Johnson Matthey today saying that platinum is likely to be in surplus again this year. But the price is continuing to hold this $1,000 area. But it will, again, it's very similar to silver in this regard. It does need to push on to new recovery highs to and sustain the move to confirm a return back to demand dominance. Well, the South African rand strengthened up for its own individual reasons today because Ramaphosa has taken over from Jacob Zuma, and that is an improvement in governance. just by simply doing nothing at all, it's an improvement in governance. He's going to have some urgent questions as to his ability to administrate the government, considering that Cape Town is in danger of running out of water, and Eskom, the national electricity utility, is on the cusp of bankruptcy. Nonetheless, the rand is pushing on to new recovery highs and has strengthened through the 12 rand to the dollar level. So it has appreciated by more than 33% since the nadir of that accelerated decline for the rand back in 2016. But the dollar was weak against just about everything. So when we look at the pound was up by almost a full cent and is back above 140. This has been a reasonably similar sized reaction to the pullback that we saw back in September and early October. And it hasn't quite unwound all of the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. But perhaps the more important point is that that was an accelerated decline back in 2016. And since then, the pound has held a progression of higher reaction lows. And as long as it is doing that, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then when we look at the euro, well, the euro is almost back up to 125. It was up an additional half a cent in here today. That's a pretty impressive rebound off the lower side of this range. And as long as it is holding the 120 area, I think that also suggests we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Now, the fly in the ointment, so to speak, could potentially be the yen, because it is strengthening through the 107 level here today. It was stronger by almost a full yen, and that's a significant breakdown from for the dollar. And what this would suggest is that we are back in a yen dominant environment. Now that is potentially rallying because the dollar is weak against just about everything, but there's a lot of carry trades that are outstanding in yen, and if as the yen strengthens, that is going to necessitate that at least some leverage is taken out of the system. So the dollar is going to have to rally soon, and in a rather dynamic manner to question that the yen isn't breaking up out of this congestion area that we've had for much of the last 10 months. So that is potentially why. It's hardly potentially, it's almost certainly why the Nikkei was not in more positive territory in here today. And it was up by 300 points, but that, when we look at the chart, it really gives us a better idea that it didn't really r rally by all that much. And that it needs to do, I think, considerably more on the upside to confirm support in the region of the trend mean. And it is quite likely to experience some volatility if the yen continues to strengthen. Well, one thing that we have noticed in terms of the stock market is that it has not been falling as much as the yen has been rising, and it tends to rise more when the yen is falling. So there are individual reasons for why the stock market should be less of a high beta play on the currency than it has been over the course of the last few years. But nonetheless, the yen is appreciating, and that is a headwind for the stock market. And of course, the reason that the dollar is weak is because of what's going on in the bond market, because the US economy, it has been expanding already for years. The Trump administration has just pushed through a raft of pro-cyclical policies, so they are going to be running significant deficits, and they are also already talking about an additional infrastructure bill. And balancing the books doesn't seem to be a topic of conversation that anyone wants to entertain right now. So when we look at the longer term chart of the 10-year yield, it is coming up to this 3% level. It has rather raced to get here, but the bigger question is whether it is going to stop at 3%. And certainly there is potential for some consolidation, and I think people are largely assuming that it will pause around 3%, and they're probably right. Nonetheless, what we are also beginning to see is that because the dollar has been weak, and that is going to foment inflation, that the US is a major importer, and when the dollar is weak, that is going to push up import prices. That was something that we saw, for example, yesterday in the inflation figures, that it was clothing prices that had moved up higher. And of course, just about all of clothing is imported. So that is just the whiff of inflationary pressures starting to rise here, and not least because of this pro-cyclical set of policies. But it's not just pro-cyclical, it's highly populist, that people have become sick and tired of not seeing their standards of living improving, and they've been voting for more money, and now they're about to get it. Well, Italy is also going to be voting in the next couple of weeks. The election is in early March, and the chances are that they're going to be pretty sick of fiscal austerity. And that's to the extent that Italy really pushed through fiscal austerity. Certainly, it didn't make the kinds of swingeing cuts that places like Ireland or Estonia made. But nonetheless, the Italians are probably sick of what was instituted, and they're going to vote most likely in a populist fashion. And that pretty much removes the potential that there's going to be any chance of fiscal rectitude in the next administration. And considering that that is perhaps the most likely scenario, the fact that the Italian 10-year is trading around 2% when German bunds are at 75 basis points, and that you're only getting a pickup of 125 basis points for owning Italy over Germany, well, that's a testament to having an Italian as the central banker. Not so much that he's buying more Italian debt than anywhere else, although that is certainly true because of Italy's relative size economically, but at least a central banker from the periphery is sensitive to the needs of people on the periphery. Well, the chances are that when Mario Draghi's term ends next year, then whoever replaces him is going to be from Northern Europe, or certainly within the almost certainly within the Germanic sphere of influence, and they will be less inclined to towards quantitative easing and buying up of those bonds. So there is ample potential here for Italian government debt to start to sell off again and for yields to rise. But the stock market is not the bond market, and it is right in the region of the trend mean right now. And as long as it can hold the area of around 22,000, well then I think people will be reasonably inclined to give it the benefit of the doubt. When we maybe take a look at some of the other peripheral markets, then Spanish market has pulled back and has pretty much failed to rally. And there aren't many markets that have failed to rally, but a lot of them are in Europe because of the strength of the currency, that there is this inverse relationship between the performance of the stock market and the euro, and with the euro rallying back up towards 125, that is acting as a bit of a headwind for the European stock market. So, for example, the DAX today was not able to hold the majority of its advance, and it is also steadying around this 12,000 level. But if the euro continues to strengthen, well, that is going to sap demand for the European stock markets, at least in nominal terms. If you're a foreign investor, it's probably not going to make a great deal of difference. And then when we look at the industrial metal complex, well, we've had a pretty significant advance, and that is feeding through into the performance of the respective shares. So we're certainly seeing that the mining sector is returning to popularity. But it's not just the South African rand that's doing well, but also other commodity-related currencies. So the Australian dollar has bounced from the region of the trend mean. And when we look at the New Zealand dollar, then it is right back up towards the upper side of its respective range. Now, the New Zealand stock market, which was really been among the best performers of developed markets over the last few years, has almost completed a reversion back towards the mean. And so far, it has not yet rallied, and I suspect that's also because of the relative strength of the Kiwi dollar. But the uptick in demand for resources generally is helping to put a floor under the Brazilian real, for example, and it has strengthened from the upper side of this range against the dollar over the course of the last week. And I think that that is also representative of the fact that we are still in a period of impressive economic growth for the global economy. That absolutely there are an increasing number of populist regimes being installed all right across the world, and that they are increasingly voting for fiscal profit. Profligacy. I can spell it, but I can't say it. Excuse me. Profligacy. And then when we think about it in those terms, that's likely to contribute to economic growth. Well, at the same time, that is also going to set us up for the conditions for overheating, and then potentially for central banks to start raising interest rates in a more aggressive fashion. Well, it's something that I look at quite closely is the quantity of debt that is sitting on the books of the various central banks. And at the present moment, it is at 20.5 trillion, and it was up an additional 25 billion the last time this chart was updated. So 20 trillion, considering that this is not a tradable entity, there is nothing to suggest that big round numbers are going to represent anything other than milestones from our perspective. But it's still a consistent uptrend. It is the shape of the advance that is perhaps more important, and I think anybody can see that the pace of the advance has picked up since 2016. So that's primarily because of Europe and Japan. Well, Europe is heading towards a tapering, and the USA is starting to reduce the size of its balance sheet. So this is not a trend that is likely to continue on this trajectory indefinitely. And when it eventually does begin to level off or turn around even, well, that is going to represent a headwind, but so far not yet. Meanwhile, when we look at the junk bond sector, they are rallying in here this week, and beginning to unwind this oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But broadly speaking, this has been a rolling over pattern for much of the last few months, and when we really look at the consistency, it's going to have to rally quite a bit more than it already has to push back above the trend mean and break the progression of lower rally highs. Then, when we look at the high yield spreads index, well, it had pushed up towards the upper side of its range, and it has held there so far. It has not yet broken out in a dynamic fashion, but that's not beyond the bounds of possibility either. And what happens with the oil market is probably going to have an effect on that. Oil prices have at least found near-term support above $60, but the broader question now is the extent to which they can push on from here. If they can confirm support around $60 in range for a few months, well, that will hold out the potential that this level can be sustained. But there is a lot of additional supply that becomes economic at these levels, and most particularly when we get back up towards $70. So the higher prices go, the greater the headwind it's going to represent for producers. And then we also have the real possibility that once the Saudi Arabian or Saudi Aramco IPO has been completed, that Saudi Arabia will have little incentive to continue to restrict supply. So I continue to think that oil prices are somewhat risky, but the $60 area so far is holding, and as long as that is remaining the case, I think people are going to be reasonably sanguine about the sector. So there's certainly a lot going on, and I think what's particularly noteworthy is that, when we look at a number of Asian markets, that they may have pulled back, and South Korea was one of the ones that pulled back most, but they are all finding support in the region of the trend mean. And then there's a significant number of additional markets that didn't really pull back very much at all. It is the developed, it's developed Asian markets that pulled back the most, and Taiwan fits into that category. But when we look at Indonesia or Thailand, then we don't have nearly the same evidence of pulling back. Now, I saw a report today that Modi's popularity is waning, and that is a potential headwind for the Indian market. But there's no great deal of evidence in the Nifty for that right now, and it has certainly pulled back, but it has held the progression of higher reaction lows. It is still above the trend mean, and it does look like we're getting some consolidation. But I want to continue to highlight the banking sector because it has been such a reliable lead indicator for the market for a significant period of time, and it has a pretty similar chart pattern to the Nifty. One of the more popular banks among foreign investors is Yes Bank, and Yes Bank has now got a less consistent chart pattern relative to the broader market, and it is now we have a lower high, and it is now in the region of the trend mean, and that trend mean has pretty much stopped going up. So this is a rather interesting period. So it is going to have to hold that 300 rupee area, or we would have to begin to conclude that this is a medium-term range or potentially a top formation. So that is, I think, something that is also worth watching, and not least because Yes Bank is so popular among international investors. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.